Y'all, you guys gotta watch this episode with Emily Jansen, okay? She has over 3 million views in her TED Talk. She had dropped so much knowledge about, you know, like confidence and how to show up and how to do it anyway. You're going to survive it. And she talked about her 3-2-1 method, which I can't wait for you guys to hear. So I'm not going to go on and on, but I will let you know that she is absolutely amazing and you're going to love this episode. Go ahead and check it out. What's up, y'all? This is Nina Perez, and this is Straight Talk, No Sugar Added. I am so stoked you're here, and I freaking love you. And the reason I say that is because you guys are freaking amazing. So like this, a beautiful community that I have, you guys have gotten over 100,000 downloads for Straight Talk, No Sugar Added. I'm super stoked that you did that. Thank you so much for being here and being part of this. Make sure you like, share, subscribe, all that great stuff. You know the deal. But I got to tell you guys, I got a superstar with me today, okay? So buckle your seatbelts, people, okay? I have Emily Jansen here with me, and Emily lives by Be So Good They Won't Forget You. All right, y'all, you know we're going to get into this, right? And she embodies this every day. She is a powerhouse keynote speaker, an author, a podcaster, and she's inspiring confidence and goal achievement across the U.S. So Emily hosts the top-rated podcast, Leadership is Female, all right? Interviewing top executives and shaping future leaders. In her 22 TEDx talk on confidence, girl, 3 million views. Get out of here, Emily. All right. No, don't get out of here yet after the show. Don't get out of here just yet. Emily's career is a masterclass in breaking barriers. And off the field, she is a devoted wife, a mother, an adventure-loving runner. So tune in, y'all, because we are about to have an amazing conversation. Thank you so much for being here, Emily. Thank you. How are you?
My pleasure. Great to be here, Nina. Thanks.
Yeah, I'm glad you're here. I mean, you are a badass, right? So let's just cut through the chase. Emily, I want people to get to know you. I know that over 3 million people have seen your keynote speaker, your keynote speech and all of that. And that's fantastic. My audience is really awesome. I mean, they love to watch who I have on and they love to connect. So I want people to get to know you. So off the gate, I always ask, who are you? So I want to hear what you have to say about that. Who are you, Emily?
Sure. There's so many ways to answer that question because we are 360 humans living in this life. Mm-hmm. And often we're introduced by all of our accolades, which thank you for pumping me up in that intro. I love it. But I'm a girl from a small town, a rural small town who was once too shy to order a pizza. And now I speak on stages in front of thousands and have broken barriers in my career, all because I chose to focus on one specific, what I want to call skill set, which is also an attitude, and that is confidence. So a lot of people believe that you were born with it. You know, she has it, I don't, he has it, I don't. But the good news is that confidence is a skill set that you can, in fact, increase over time with the proper attention and behaviors that you can grow.
That's really great too, right? Because it shows that if you stick with something that you really want to teach others and you don't just kind of give up on it or think this isn't working, you can really make this your thing. It could be your thing, right? So I want to ask you about that. Why confidence though? Was that something that you lacked? Well, you said you didn't even order pizza, but what was that moment then? Or what was that time for you where you shifted and said, you know what? I don't want to be afraid of doing this anymore. I want to step up. What was that for you? Do you know what that was?
Yeah, absolutely. So I mentioned I was a small town girl who was really shy, but I had big dreams. And I think part of that was I lived about an hour and a half from Chicago. And I had these like big dreams of being in the city and being part of the action. But my rural upbringing didn't really allow me to tap into that. I didn't have a lot of access to mentors or ideas for careers that would fit me in the future. And there was this desire that was burning inside of me. And luckily for me, I had a great high school guidance counselor who was like, Emily, you've got good grades. You've excelled in sports. Those were things I was good at doing. But it was the speaking out, speaking up, really being the life of the party. I was not that. I was a behind the scenes, you know, type of girl. So she encouraged me to apply to school, and I got into University of Illinois. And when I arrived, I felt like a minnow in the ocean. And I literally felt like I was crying every day in my dorm room for the first month of school.
Wow.
And there was a day that a morning I woke up after attending a horrible frat party with warm beer for probably 45 minutes because it was so miserable. I was like ready to pack up my bags and go home. And I'm like, is this really what college is about? I think I would, you know, rather, you know, make my dreams a little smaller and stay in the comfort of my hometown. But that voice came back inside of me and it was like, Emily, you're here for a reason. You need to start showing up like the person you want to become. And that day on my way walking to class, I noticed all these other students around me, heads held high, walking to class, knowing what they were doing, you know, the next right step to pursuing their degree, to ultimately pursuing their career. And I thought, all these other people can do it. Why not me? I need to start showing up like that person I want to become. And that was really step one. And after that, it was just one uncomfortable situation after another that I made myself get into. I survived. I grew. My career grew. Opportunities grew. And just little by little, I was able to get the career that I wanted. And then in 2020, I started the podcast Leadership is Female. And during that time, I really had reflection on what helped me get to where I was, that I felt I had this voice that I could share. And that was breaking a barrier as a sports executive. I was the first female general manager of a AAA baseball team in almost 20 years. And there's only 30 GMs in AAA. And I was one of those.
So good.
And that was a barrier breaking moment for me. And one of the actions that I took beyond putting in the hard work at the ballpark was, how can I share this moment with others and highlight others and not just tell my stories, but highlight the stories of other women? So I started this podcast, Leadership is Female, and I interviewed one woman a week for an entire year. Now it's been 3.5 years and we've expanded beyond sports executives and talked to CEOs and authors, just really inspirational people.
So good.
Time after time, they have told me that the number one skill set that they've improved in order to reach their spot at the top has been confidence. So it was validation for my journey, inspiration to keep going and to share more, and also proof and primary research that shows I was not the anomaly. These people did it too. So distilling down and putting together these behaviors that you can start today to change your attitude to that of a more confident person has been the staircase I've been climbing for the past 2 years.
That's really fantastic, right? And it's good too, because, you know, you're not on an island by yourself. I mean, there's other, you know, women out there who also want to tell their stories and who also had to fight through, right? Like, I remember when I'm a chef by trade, and I was working at this very high-end executive kitchen. And I remember the owner, chef, said, you know, women really can't run a kitchen. So I was like, deuces, and I left, and I ended up building and launching and creating a very, very beautiful, very well-known kitchen in this place. And so I'm like, okay, so check that off, right? But it is a very male-dominated industry, you know, the kitchen, the culinary industry. But I say all that to say that I love that you've expanded that you've started talking to authors and, you know, other people too, because there's also barriers broken there. But you know what, Emily, I think one of the things that I wanted to touch on with you as well is the confidence piece, because there's been an oversaturation of that, right? Or people saying that they're confidence coaches, or, you know, just build your confidence, or everybody's a confidence coach today. Everybody and their mother is a confidence coach, right? But I feel like that's something that not everybody even knows that they need. Did you find that as well? Like, was that something that you didn't even know that you needed, but you just discovered that?
So it's interesting. I knew that confidence exists on a spectrum, right? Mm-hmm. Like from most confident to least confident. And depending on the situation, you land somewhere along that spectrum. For me, I was confident when it came to playing soccer. I was a great soccer mm-hmm. player. I was confident in some of my classes in high school. In my small town high school, I was one of the top in the class. I was very confident in that role. But mm-hmm. where I lacked confidence was the moment I tried to expand my boundaries. I would either be too afraid to do it in the first place, or if I did enter into the arena, oh boy, you know, that led to a month crying in my dorm room, you know? So it had consequences every time I sort of stepped out, which helped me to identify like, whoa, if you want to achieve the goals that you've set for yourself in this life, like I knew from the time I was little, I wanted to live a big life. I didn't feel like I was put on this earth to play small, but I didn't know how to do it. I didn't have access to people who could help me to do it. And I had to take it upon myself to increase my confidence, because the only way I was going to get access, earn connections, earn opportunity was if I stepped outside of my comfort zone and put myself in situations that either allowed me to grow or put me in rooms with the people that I needed to meet in order to achieve the goals I had set for myself.
That's so good. And you know what I like about that too, is that I want people who are listening to understand that, you know, there's nothing wrong with you if you're not confident in this one piece, right? Like you said, I was confident in soccer. I was confident with my grades, but there is something different when you become either an entrepreneur or a CEO or something. That's the weight of that responsibility, I think, is what kind of knocks you back a little bit in your confidence, right? Do you agree with that?
Yeah, I do. Because you're stepping into a new arena. And that's where that nasty term we know of as imposter syndrome really creeps in. Like sometimes you get into the situation where you did all the right things, so you earn this new opportunity. Then you're inside the new opportunity, whether it's the new role, the new promotion. And you're like, oh my gosh, do I deserve to be here? Like how did I get this? I don't know what to do. And you got to kind of start again with growing your skill set in that new role. Like your comfort zone expanded far enough to get you to this new destination. But once you get there, the work doesn't end. Like you still have to keep going. But what I want to tell the listeners is, number one, like you deserve to be there. When you earn that opportunity, you 100% deserve to be there. Believe that you belong. And the second piece is like, we're not born perfect and we're not born knowing all the answers for everything that we're ever going to encounter. So you should give yourself the same grace that you would to someone else.
That's so good.
You need to approach that new situation with the same attitude of curiosity that allowed you to grow and to learn that got you there in the first place. And we love to talk today about how our mistakes have taught us all these lessons, yet people are still so afraid to make mistakes.
Yeah.
Don't be afraid to make those mistakes, earn up to those mistakes, share those with others so they can learn too. That is how you become a leaderful leader, a leader that is full, overflowing with guidance, leadership, leading by example, getting in the arena, showing your people the way forward.
Yeah. And I think that another important piece of that is that it will come up again, right? So just because Emily is really getting into these corporations and writing the book and everything, that does not mean that when she hits another level, that she doesn't have to reach into her confidence bucket to accomplish that. Because, and it's a lifelong thing, I feel. It's a lifelong learning, right? It's expanding your mind. It's learning to reach new levels, whatever levels that is for you, because everybody has this different, like right now the push is everybody should be an entrepreneur, but not everybody wants to be an entrepreneur. Some people want to manage companies. Some people want to be CEOs. Some people don't want to do any of that. They just want to just get their money and go home, you know? So we're all on different spectrums, right? But I think the important piece is no matter what the confidence No matter where you are in your confidence level, there's always going to be an opportunity of growth in that confidence, right? Something that comes up, some imposter syndrome that comes up, some self-sabotaging behaviors that come up, right? And I think one of the big pieces too, Emily, is, you know, well, for me, is always forgiveness also of yourself and forgiveness of others. And the reason I say that is because when I was walking around with a lot of trauma in my life and walking around with shame and unforgiveness and all of that, I didn't have confidence, right? I didn't think I was worth it or had enough to make it. And then when I broke all that off and I started to forgive myself for my mistakes, forgive others, and stop living with my head down in shame, I was able to step up to who I am today. And to that point of when you said that when you walked out and you started to see other students with their head held high, now you had already been there. So those people were already walking with their head held high. You just happened to notice it, right? Mm-hmm. It's that shift in mentality, right? So tell me, how do you do that? Because I know that right now you're a keynote speaker and you are talking to a bunch of corporations. And like I said, a lot of CEOs listen to the show as well. So how is it that you show up for these companies or show up in these talks to have people start that in their life, start that confidence piece in their life?
Yeah, the great question. But before I answer it, I want to tell your audience that just because this is like my MO and I'm so passionate about talking and writing about confidence and sharing the tips about confidence does not mean that there are not situations where I lack confidence. As Nina right. pointed out, I'm always put into these uncomfortable situations. Sometimes when I show up to do a keynote, I mean, my knees are still shaking behind the screen Normal. Because I care. I care so much about the outcome and that the audience absorbs what I say. They put it into action. The nerves are associated with the excitement behind sharing the message and the potential impact that it can have, because more confident employees bring their authentic selves to work. Yeah. They engage in meaningful conversation. They are more likely to go after their goals and your company's goals. There's all these benefits to becoming a more confident person. And that's what motivates me to keep getting up there and to speak. And so mm-hmm. I'll share with you guys one of the behaviors that I teach is 3, 2, 1, go. And I'm an athlete. That's how I grew up playing sports. I think a lot of us did. And we were always working on the court by the clock. And if you played any sports as a kid, you know, you remember getting coaching from your coach and playing in those games and hopefully the fun that you had in that experience. But after we finish our schooling or whatever training we've done, for most of us, the coaching stops. We are on our own, and anything we want to learn, we have to buy the book, rent it from the library, go out to create a networking group of people that we can get advice from. We're kind of on our own, unless you've gone out and taken the step to hire a coach to help you, which is a very small percentage of people. So the reason I love 3, 2, 1, go is because it's something we've known for a very, very long time. When the clock counts down, it's time to take action. Yep. And number two, it reminds us of those coaching moments from when we were young, when the coach is helping us get through it. A loved one is cheering for us on the sidelines. So here's how you apply it through a story where I've used this before. So I worked in baseball, as I told you, and I was the only woman in the room almost all the time in this leadership position. And we're talking professional baseball players here at the AAA level who are on the doorstep of their major league call up, or they've already been in the major leagues and they are playing down at AAA for one reason or another. So these are people with high skill. The managers have usually been with the program for a long time. And the last person they're expecting to talk to is me, simply because before, probably in their time, because it had been nearly 20 years since a female was a GM of a team, they had never encountered someone who looked like me, talked like me, acted like me, had my experience. And so one game, it was about 45 minutes before game time, and I had come down from my office and was checking out, you know, everything going well, fans in the stands, you know, things running smoothly. And I looked down at the field and I noticed that the opponent was wearing the wrong color uniform. If you know anything about sports, the teams are supposed to wear opposing colors on the field. Like, it's the most basic thing.
Right.
And I am thinking in my head, oh my gosh, like I almost remember kind of looking around, like who's going to take care of this? And then thinking, oh my, it's me. And so I go down to the warning track of the field. My heels are sinking into the dirt as I'm looking
at
the
man.
And I'm like, I have to have the most uncomfortable conversation with this guy and tell him that his whole team needs to go back to the locker room.
Locker, yeah.
Their clothes, right? Go back in the clubhouse, change your clothes, then come out and play. Clock's ticking, like, let's get this done. And the old me wanted to run back up to the office, pretend like she didn't see anything and be like, yeah, right. Well, we have 72 home games this year. What does this one matter? You know? But when I asked myself, who am I? Okay. Here's who I am. I'm the GM. I'm in charge of this outfit. Like, and how do I want to behave? Well, I want to be the person who does right and doesn't run away from these problems. And so I said in my head, 3, 2, 1, go. And I started walking towards this man. And like, we made eye contact. Like, I was already on the move. There was no turning on my heel and going in the opposite direction. And I got to him and we had this uncomfortable conversation about changing the uniforms. And I survived, right? And the world kept turning and everything worked out as it should have. And I was okay, right? And after that situation, because of that behavior that I could do, you know, momentum got me to him, counting got me started. My comfort zone for those moments like grew just a little bit that I knew that I could have those tough or critical conversations. So that is something so easy to remember.
That's good. Yeah.
And hopefully something that will inspire you and think, oh, I remember that girl, Emily Jansen, so told that story. 3, 2, 1, go and engage in that moment that feels really tough for you right now, but you know, you should do it. And really, you know, you'll probably be okay at the end.
Yeah. So that's so good. And I know those of you who are listening, I know you can already think of like, I know I could like 20 things you could apply this to, right? Because it's such a easy thing to do, but I always feel like, and I, you know, my family knows me for this. Every time I'm afraid of doing something, I do it anyway. That's my thing is do it anyway. And the reason I do it anyway is because once I've broken that seal of fear, whatever that is, I'm no longer afraid of it anymore. So I keep moving. You know, because for a long time, like I said, a lot of shame and, you know, a lot of doubt and self-confidence and all was low. So it was, I would always like be a hard worker and always like, you know, level up really quickly in my jobs and careers. But when it came to like speaking on stage or talking to other people or, you know, having a business, like, no, I'm not doing it. But you know what, Emily, like what you're giving them is this tool that can be super simple to do. And even though that conversation in your story might have been uncomfortable, I mean, you were right, right? So he had to go and get that done. And also, like you said, I survived. I'm good, right? And I think that that's what we have to keep in mind is like, even when we enter like a new job, a new position, a new whatever, that first day, second day, you're like scared. You're like shitless. You're like, oh, shoot, what am I going to do here? But you know what? After a while, you can do it in your sleep. Because you've been doing it for so long, right? I think we kind of forget that we do have history and stories and stuff that we can pull from that shows that you are a lot more confident or have a lot more in your pocket than you think you do, right?
Do you feel that way as well?
Yeah.
I totally agree. And when I'm working with groups, I love to do, if we have the time for it, this collective yet individual goal setting exercise. And the key, after we've talked about confidence, right? We've gotten pumped up. We've heard the techniques and the tips and the behaviors and the funny stories and, you know, ways that we can remember how to deploy these behaviors. Then we move into goal setting because you're like thinking like, okay, I can grow my confidence. And with more confidence comes the ability to tackle new challenges. Mm-hmm. And before we set out our new goals, first you got to prime the pump. You got to remember how far you've come mm-hmm. and how much you have already achieved. And that should get you fired up for your life.
Yep. Yep. And you know, I do that yearly, actually, at the end of the year, I try to, I go back and I really try to look on my computer, on my phone, you know, my photos, whatever that is, because I take a lot of photos to remember moments. And that's when you realize how much you have actually done, good, bad, ugly, all of it, right? But to your point, that's really good because then if you do that, now you have the confidence to then build the goal, right? Because you at first, because I mean, I don't know, Emily, what this is, but I think we all just never think we're good enough for something. Like something comes up and it's new. We're like, oh, I don't know if I could do that. I don't know if I'm good enough. Do I know enough? And you're like, are you kidding me? You're like the pro in this, you know? But it's so funny how our brains do that. It's a fear mechanism, right? It's to keep us safe.
It is for sure. And my favorite hack for that is just by asking yourself, why not you?
Right.
Seriously, why not you? Mm-hmm. We're all people, right? So you're looking around at everyone that you deem successful and we have a, you know, an awesome and terrible tool right at our fingertips with our cell phones to just die of comparisitis, comparing ourselves to everyone else.
Comparisitis, I love that. Yeah.
But what you should think is, why not you? And I tell you, I use this all the time. I have all sorts of emotions about my book coming out later this spring. Emily, you know, how good is it really going to be? What are the reviews going to say? You know, are people going to like this? Is it going to resonate with your audience? What if you get a negative comment? And I just think, I'm like, you know what? Why not me? Why can't I be someone who publishes a book? Hey, why can't this maybe make a bestseller list? Maybe this book will have an impact on one person. If it's one person, it has an impact on what is that ripple effect for the rest of their life? And for me, that's enough. Everyone else is freaking gravy. But if we can do the thing, right? Set the bar so you can hop over the top of it, right? Your goals are going to keep climbing as you keep finding success. But for me, sell the book to one person. I've already achieved that before it's come out. And the rest is gravy. And the rest is like, why not me? Why can't this be something that turns into my wildest dream? So apply that for whatever it is you want to do. Why can't you get into grad school? Why can't you open a new restaurant that gets 5-star reviews? Why can't you win that award? Why can't you be featured on that news site? Why can't that, you know, for anything in your life? And, you know, I just think with that mentality, like you can push the worry away about what other people think, you know, it's your life, not theirs. And
And I also, you know, to piggyback off of that, also, I want people to stop thinking that there's an oversaturation of something, right? Because the truth is that there's your people that when that like you, like your message, like how you say it, like what your attitude is or your energy are going to attract to you, period. You know, it's like you said, I wrote a book. Okay, so have other billions of people. So what, right? But that doesn't mean you shouldn't write your book, Emily. That means that somebody out there is going to want your particular book, right? So I think that we pigeonhole ourselves, you know, like, oh, I don't want to be a coach. There's so many coaches. And you even just said in the beginning of this, and I agree, fewer people do that. Go and get a coach. Go and get someone to help them, right? And that's why you're successful at what you do. I'm successful at what I do, especially because you work with companies. I work with individuals, right? So when you're going into these organizations, are you working with the C-suite or are you working with the entire organization or how are you structuring that?
Yeah. So I work with a lot of employee resource groups. So because I'm a woman and I have a podcast called Leadership is Female, my main request is from women in. So women in engineering, women in brewing, women in real estate, women in culinary, it could be anything. We're all part of a male dominated industry and I'm amazing at speaking about that. So I'll speak to and work with those groups. I've also spoken to entire corporations, and this opportunity comes about from people who realize, like, man, you know, I have this great team. Like, these people in this room have been hired because they've been chosen, right? They've been selected to be here. And we're building this amazing company. What would happen if they all had just a little bit more confidence? What could happen, right? And it's that same type of attitude we were applying earlier, like just being curious about, hey, if I gave them some inspiration, if we did a little pump up, if we had some takeaways, if we met someone who felt just like us and could help us get to that next level, like what might happen for these individuals? Mm-hmm. What might that unlock? And that's why I don't take any speaking opportunity for granted and pour my heart and soul into making a connection with those that are on the other line, at other end of the Zoom, or on the other side of the microphone, if I'm in a big auditorium. But it's my privilege to do that. And now I've got, you know, the book that can help take it just a little bit further, that there's exercises and real personalization for you to work through. But I wanted to say one other thing about when we were discussing, you were talking about how things are saturated, and that's often a barrier for us because you think somebody else has done that, right? There's other people have done it. Nothing is novel anymore. We've got billions of people on this planet, but what is novel is you and you alone. And when I applied for TEDx, the organizers called me and said, hey, you made it to the top 20, or you made it to the top. We have 20 spots. One of them might be yours, but we have to ask you a few questions first. And I was like, okay, what is it? And they're like, well, your topic is confidence. And if you haven't noticed, TEDx has an entire channel filled with talks on confidence. And I was like, oh, in fact, I didn't know that. But
I didn't either.
What's the deal? They're like, well, how is yours going to be different? And I said to the organizer, I said, have you ever been to the creamer aisle at a grocery store? And he's like, where are you going with this? I'm like, just answer the question. He's like, yeah. I go, okay. Oat milk, almond milk, whole milk, skim milk, fat-free, no sugar. Then you go to flavors. We've got vanilla, hazelnut, peppermint, like whatever flavor of the year is available. The variety is literally endless. I said, that's the same thing with these talks, because each one of those flavors is for the right person at the right time. And the same thing with this talk. It's for the right person at the right time. They haven't heard this message from me on your stage through this microphone. And so I believe that talk is going to be unique and special because I'm doing it on this date with you. And I got the spot.
Damn right. Because just from that, you showed them confidence. Hello. Okay. I freaking love that. I love that story. I love that story.
It's so like, let that be a lesson. You know, there's a place where all our ideas may not be novel because at this point in time, you know, we're all living on this planet, billions of us together. But who is unique? Who is novel? Who is projecting and sharing and inventing those messages in new ways is you and you alone.
Right. That's right. Thank you, Emily. That was so good. And it's a great way for people to understand that, you know what, why don't you, like, and this is just my opinion, shut everything off. All of the social medias, all of the mainstream media, shut everything off and ask yourself what you like. What is it that you want to bring to the world? And how do you want to show up? And how do you want people to feel when you leave them? Because we're so inundated with so much info coming at us all the time, and we're flicking all the time and watching everything all the time, that we don't pause to say, I don't like that, or I do like that, or I don't like the way that makes me feel, or I like the way this makes me feel. And we don't pause for that. And I think we should, because Emily, it's one thing to show up. It's another thing to know who you are to show up. Right. And that's where the confidence piece comes in, because once you start to know, I'm really afraid of doing that, but I'm going to do it anyway, you start to discover things about yourself, you know, and that's a beautiful journey. And you are doing an amazing job. Thank you for coming on here and like dropping all these little gems, the 3, 2, 1 and all this other stuff. And I really, really like that. And I love that my audience got to hear it, because I know that they are really like just all invested in what my clients do. And I love talking to people and they're like, oh my God, you had blank on your show. And she said this, this, and this. So I started doing this. I love that kind of stuff, Emily. You really left some gold on this show. So I want to thank you for being here. But before I wrap up, I do want people to know how to connect with you, follow you, watch your TEDx talk, like all that great stuff. So give us all that information.
Sure. My name is Emily Jansen. It's E-M-I-L-Y. Last name is J-A-E-N-S-O-N. That double vowel in the beginning will get you every time. Yeah. So I'm Emily Jansen on Instagram, LinkedIn. Reach out to me. Emily Jansen is my website if you're interested in pre-ordering a copy of the book, which will be available on Amazon and all other retail outlets later this spring. And also, if you're interested in hearing more through a keynote for your company, reach out on my website as well. And it's been such a joy to be here. Nina, you are awesome. Thank you.
Thank you. And, you know, I want to plug that a little bit too about, you know, if you're running an organization or a company and you want to have a keynote speaker come in, I so highly recommend it. I worked in corporate, and that's one of the things I've always desired in my heart is to have someone come and talk to us either about structure or culture or confidence or anything like that, that would get the team really like fired up about where they're working. And so I don't want people to take things like that for granted. If you have a budget already in place for like, you know, having a keynote speaker, having a workshop, having whatever, you know, don't sleep on that kind of stuff. Your people need it. They're also inundated with all this information too. And the best way to get an outcome from the people that work with you is to pour into them. And if you pour into them, they will pour back into you and what you're doing, right? Yeah.
It's so true. And just lastly, I heard this week I'm going to be speaking to women at Intel, and one of the organizers was like, "Hey, I have to tell you a funny story." She goes, "My brother, he knows who you are." And I go, "Oh, he does?" And he's like, "Yeah, he watched your TED talk and he's seen you on social media." And he goes, "You know what? That message isn't just for women at Intel. That's for everyone. I use Emily's techniques all the time." I love that story. And while, you know, women are the amazing souls that generally bring me in first, the message is for everyone on this planet that wants a little more confidence to achieve their goals.
Amen to that. That is awesome, Emily. Thank you for being here and pouring all of that into my audience. I'm grateful. Thank you.
My pleasure.
So good. Thank you. Guys, I told you, right? Another good human on the planet. I want to make sure that you follow Emily. So I'm going to link all of her information below so that you can get in contact with her. And for those of you who I know I've spoken to you, those CEOs out there and stuff that you're running companies, you know, really think about having Emily come on and do a keynote at your next event or something that you want to put on to pour back into your people. I'm telling you, I was director and I had 20 people under me. And as much as I poured into them, they gave me more than that back. So pour into your people. All right. Pour into your people. All right. Thank you guys for being here. This is Nina Perez, Straight Talk, No Sugar Added. Love you guys. Until next time.